You're listening to the Homegrown Faith Podcast. I'm Jo Clark, and I'm chatting with my fellow pastor and friend, Richard Sweatman, about God, the Bible, and life lived growing our faith in Jesus. This podcast is coming to you from Hunter Bible Church in Newcastle.
Good morning, Jo Clark. Great to be chatting with you again here in October. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you, Richard Sweatman. We've had some holidays.
We have. Feeling refreshed. What's been some highlights for you, things you've enjoyed?
Well, my brother Tom came down for a visit, which was so nice. And he had the joy of coming with me to Redhead Dog Beach, which we took Ted and it was really fun. but here is a dog beach etiquette challenge. Here we go. Mm-hmm. So you'll be walking along and Ted is very excited about his ball. And so he's throwing the ball and he's catting it and bring it back. And then he squats to do a poo. And you're like, oh. But the thing is, he squats in the waves. So he's doing a poo in the water and you think, all right. So you get your bag out to pick up the poo. But then the wave comes along and there's no way I'm going in the water near the poo, right? It's going to get carried away. And then the poo gets carried away by the water. And so then you're standing there and it's a public moment. Like, you're not meant to leave the poo behind, but the poo is gone. And the dog has done a poo, and then you're like, all right, I'll keep walking then. But you feel like you're breaking some kind of really important rule, which is don't leave your dog's poo behind. And so I've decided to call this Ted's hydro-pooing prank, because he's done it multiple times. He just likes doing a poo in the water. And then I'm like left there standing there going, all right, well, I'll keep moving then. Anyway, it's just one of those funny, it just makes me laugh every time because I'm breaking a rule, but I had do nothing about it because there's no way I'm going to the water while the poo is floating around. Mm. Anyway, there you are. Thoughts?
Mm. Wow. Yes, I feel less confident about swimming at Redhead Beach now.
That's my main point. You should feel less confident. The dog beach area is definitely dog beach in my mind now.
I think you're in a bit of a stuck position. I mean, imagine he'll go into the water at times and not poo and have a fun time.
That's right.
So you're not planning on keeping him out of the water the whole time.
That's right. And he's a dog. Like, this is this is the designated area for the council to say this is where it's appropriate for him to be a dog. Anyway, so I think I've just accepted that I will have bags ready.
Yeah.
But except if he hydro poos, that's fine.
did Tom volunteer to help with this aspect of God care at all?
That's a good question. No, Tom was great. We just walked up and down the beach. We had good times. He threw the ball. He's got a stronger arm than me, so he threw the ball further than I could.
Yeah.
And Ted was living his best life. So, we had a great time.
Very good.
Oh, gosh. What about you, mate? What did you get up to?
Oh, well, I thought I'd share. I really enjoyed the MTS recruit conference that we went on just before both of us took a break up at Katoomba. I don't know if I've got any funny stories from the conference. It was a good time. Jen and I did our sort of traditional early Saturday morning pastry run up to Katoomba.
Lovely.
As old people, we find ourselves waking up early and it's like, you know, six o'clock or something, no breakfast for another hour and a half. And so it's a beautiful day. We go get a Danish and a croissant from the Hominy Bakery on the main street there and go down to Three Sisters where there's nobody there. And so I think that's a fun tradition. I like that.
That is lovely. Yeah.
But a great conference. And I think probably the thing I enjoyed most was just the encouragement of being around people who are thinking quite seriously about an MTS apprenticeship, long-term full-time word ministry in some way, whether they're early on the journey or very close. And just to see people talking about this in community, like in relationship. They're not just, they're actually asking other people's ideas, hearing stories, working out together. Super encouraged by the various people I met on and spoke to on that conference, which you were there as well.
Yeah. And it's that feeling, isn't it, where you're walking around and people are saying, I love Jesus. How can I serve him with my life? And that is just such an encouraging conversation to have again and again and again, isn't it? It's just, oh, I love it.
Yeah. So, and great talks from Kanishka Raffel and from Ben Farlett. And so, yeah, it's really enjoyed the conference. Looking forward to it again. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. And you've been reading the Bible.
We have. Yes, I have. I've been spending a bit of time in 1 Thessalonians, which we were doing in small groups in church, but really just found some encouraging things in 1 Timothy 3. So I'll just read 1 Timothy. Sorry, did I say Timothy? I meant Thessalonians.
You did. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Yeah.
This is my word substitution to drive my family nuts. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 7. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecutions, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God before you because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. So there are a few things I loved about this. I think there's just an insight into some of the discouragement and despair and worry that Paul and his friends feel in ministry. So he's distressed, there's persecution, but there's that little phrase, now we really live, implying almost that he was like not really living before without the good news of how the Thessalonians were going, that he was really, it was finding things very hard there. But then he's genuinely encouraged by the faith and the news that from the Thessalonians that they are standing firm in the Lord. And I thought I had words that Paul, being a very mature Christian, is just as much in need of encouragement than a younger Christian. And in fact, possibly in need of more encouragement than a less mature Christian, because he's taking risks for God. He's trusting in God, not himself. He's giving himself out for others. So, to need encouragement is a quality of a mature Christian. So that were my thoughts.
That is a beautiful thing to say, I think, Richard, because I think there's this false narrative in our, I don't know if it's our culture or in a success narrative or whatever, which says as you become more powerful, responsible, mature, whatever it might be, you become more independent. And maybe it's individualism in our society. You become more independent of others. You don't need them as much. But instead, you're right. We were encouraged about you because of your faith. Like he's obviously drawing great encouragement from seeing God at work in their lives and in the church. Yeah, I love that.
Mm. So, it helps me feel thankful. It's all right to need encouragement. I feel thankful when the encouragement comes. And and of course God is good and in control and he's answering prayers and helping people out. So So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Love it. Good encouragement all around, and it's great to be doing it in our church these few weeks for us.
Yeah. And I have also been wanting to talk about reading the Bible because I've not really had capacity to do extra reading of other things. So I thought, I'll just talk about what I read this morning, which was Psalm 73. So I'm continuing through the Psalms. So this is the start of book 3, actually.
Yeah.
I've never actually worked to remember which each of the books of the Psalms are. But anyway, this is the start of book 3.
Yeah.
A Psalm of Asaph. And I actually didn't get through the whole psalm because I got stuck just thinking about two things at the start of the psalm, which I really enjoyed. And the first is actually in verse 2, it says, "But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Mm. And he goes on to reflect on the life of the wicked, and I just really got thinking, because he stays in that for about, from verse 4 to verse 12. And I really got thinking about what it might have been for Asaph to envy the arrogant and the prosperity of the wicked. And for that to have, I think in verse 2 it's saying his feet almost slipped. He nearly lost his foothold. I think he's looking at the arrogant and the wicked too much, and that's having an effect on him rather than verse 1, which is where I went back to. It says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart.
Yeah.
Remembering that God is good, he became distracted and it had an effect on him when he focused on the wicked or the arrogant.
Mm.
And I just found that a very good warning to me.
Yeah.
I don't think that's something I'm wrestling with at the moment, where I'm looking at someone or a particular group of people's life who are living a wicked life and thinking, oh, that looks, you know, look at them, or that looks really good, or anything like that. It's not really a wrestle I'm having, but it was a warning not to focus on them or the things of the world, but instead to think, oh, no, God is good. He is good to his people. And for that to consume my thinking more.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's where I went with the psalm. So I didn't really even get to the second half of it because I just got stuck on it. You know, sometimes your mind just gets thinking.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's quite that's good. That's meditating on the word, as it says in Psalm 1. Yeah, I think so as well. It's the verse 1 side of it, in introduction, this is a statement. This is in some ways this is head knowledge for Asaph at this point. It's conclusion in advance. But and then there's that self reflection immediately as he turns from God to himself and almost slips. It's quite an image. You imagine walking up a slippery hill or a muddy path or something, and
to and foot giving way. Yeah.
The foot gives way. And but verse 3, it's about envy. It's looking not to God, it's looking to others. That just will put Asaph in a bad place. And same for us as well. Yeah.
It made me think about what Jesus must have, like, he being perfect and pure in his thinking and his heart, when confronted by the wickedness of the world, what was his reaction?
Yeah.
And I think the clearest things that come to my mind are his prayerfulness and it, talking to the Father, and his generosity of loving people who were his enemies.
Yeah.
And so I guess I looked at it and I thought, oh, I'm really actually glad that Asaph wrote these things down, because they're kind of ugly thoughts, you know, that we don't often want. We don't want our ugly thoughts written down. But he's written them down for us as like a warning, I think.
Yeah.
And Jesus as a contrast is such a great example. And so, I'm thankful for Jesus, the perfect, you know, thinker.
Yeah, that's right. We can look to him as our great high priest, who's familiar with our struggles, but not a sinner himself. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's the perfect summary. Yeah. I was thankful for the Psalms this morning, and I'm really enjoying working through them. Yeah, slowly, one Psalm, Psalms a day, or half a Psalm if you get stuck on it.
That's right. Yeah, very good Christian tradition, working through the Psalms.
Yes.
Great. We might, so it has been excellent chatting with you through this morning, Joe. Dog, Etticus at the beach there. I'm glad you had a good time with your brother. Yeah,
it was great.
MTS Recruit, we enjoyed.
So good.
And 1 Thessalonians 3 and Psalm 73, a bonus Bible episode. I was thinking it would be good to encourage for our listeners, them in their own Bible reading as we head into spring, heading into summer here in Australia. This is a good time for let the warmer day, the sunshine, lift your mood and get you in the Word. So, love to encourage people to be reading their Bible regularly.
Mm, yeah, whether it's a psalm, or why not start with something you love or something your church is encouraging you towards, a time with God, grab one from those from church if you're from HBC. Yeah, there's nothing better than spending some time with God every day.
Yeah. Great chatting with you, Joe. Look forward to talking more next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, mate. Bye.
Bye.